Hey, Barb.
Yes, Jeff.
What did doctor tell the kleptomaniac he should do when he feels the urge to steal? He told him to take something for it. Thank you. That's appreciated, sister. Oh, encouragement from the crowd. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up to you. We put them into your hands. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. Amen. Have you ever stepped out in faith and did what you believe God had called you to do and then not experienced what you expected? Have you ever been confused or frustrated by the challenges you encountered after you obeyed what you believed to be the leading of the Spirit? If so, then today's message is for you. Scripture makes it abundantly clear that there will be challenges to our faith, that once we overcome our own doubts and act in faithful obedience, we will face challenges both from the world and even from God's own. We need to know that this is not a strange thing, because obedience is our job, and outcomes of our obedience is God's job. Text for today is Mark 14, 3 through 9. It should sound familiar. It's what I used last time, but this time for a different message, such is the richness of Scripture. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman. Sounds like the title of a Western. There came a woman with an alabaster vial of a very costly perfume of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor," and they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." On Silent Wednesday, Jesus, his disciples, and others were gathered at a house just outside of Jerusalem, right at the foot of the Mount of Olives. Jesus is sitting at the table when a woman walks up to Jesus and breaks a container filled with perfume and pours it over his head. This isn't the first time that this happened. The value of the perfume is noted as 300 denarii. That's over a year's wages. In today's money, somewhere around $50,000 worth of perfume. Now, I believe that this woman responded faithfully and at great cost to the leading of the Spirit, that what she did was not something that Jesus saw and then decided to use for a metaphor for his death, but rather an act that was designed by God beforehand to be used as a powerful metaphor for his death. Jesus' explanation of her act tells us that it did two things. It ministered to Jesus there and then, and it was symbolically announcing what was soon to occur, the biggest event in human history. She ministered to Jesus, and she ministered to the world. Her act was both sympathetic and prophetic. The prophetic part comes from the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have no idea how long she considered doing this, how long it took for the leading of the Spirit to overcome her own questions and her own concerns, and as my brother said, her own fears. Should I do this? Is this what you want me to do, Lord? $50,000 is a lot of money. There are 50,000 reasons not to do this, and only one to do it. I believe that God wants me to. So this woman overcomes her own doubts and acts on the leading of the Spirit. She walks into a room full of spiritual heavy hitters, and I assume that all eyes turn to her as she approaches Jesus. And as the room goes silent, what's she doing? Is that perfume she's carrying? She comes to Jesus and breaks the container and pours it over his head. I imagine for a moment there was silence as the powerful aroma overwhelmed the room. Then she began to hear whispers. It says some were speaking about her act to each other. Matthew's account tells us that the disciples were the ones who were speaking to each other, who were murmuring about her. Then, after quietly conferring with each other, the whisperers speak out and openly criticize her in front of Jesus, who has said nothing to this point. It says they scolded her. Scolded from a Greek word which means to snort with anger. Telling her that what she did was wrong, that she wasted money that could have and hence should have been used to minister to the poor. These mighty men of God conferred among themselves, then publicly berate a woman for doing what she was led to do. I can almost feel her spiritual panic. Did I just do something I shouldn't have? Were my own doubts valid? Should I have sold this perfume and given the money to the poor? What did I just do? And she begins to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. She acted obediently to the leading of the Spirit. Then the response she gets from very significant people challenge her. She is talked about, and then she is talked to in an indignant manner. Indignant means with violent irritation. I wonder about those moments that passed between when they talked about her and when they talked to her. Because I felt those uneasy moments in my own life. Those moments when you can first sense resistance. When you can first start to doubt and question what you've done. Those moments when we wonder if we did the right thing. The time when anxious waiting for a verdict that will validate our actions. We acted in faith, and we cannot put the perfume back into the bottle. This moment is familiar for anyone who has ever acted out on faith and anyone who has ever stepped out in response to the leading of the Spirit. When God calls us to do something, we each have our own expectations of what our obedience to His call will result in. In our minds, we see the end result. Most of the times, these expectations are not met immediately or if at all. Often we step out in faith. Our faith is challenged before it is rewarded. Knowing this helps us when the challenges come. 1 Peter 4:11 through 12 says this, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever." Beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery ordeals among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. When you do as the Lord leads you, speak or serve, say something or do something because the Lord told you to. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals that come your way. They're not some strange thing. They come to test you, to make you more, so you can see where you are. What God is using you for His kingdom, He is also conforming you to the image of Christ. Both things are happening. God is a multitasker, and your sanctification is always on His things to do list. 1 Peter 1:6, 7 says this, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, part of the proof of our faith is our obedient response and facing trials. What is the proof of your faith? That you follow it, that you do what you're told. Our response to His call is more valuable than gold, and your obedience, even when tested by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor from God Himself. Praise, glory, and honor. When? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. When do we get what we expected from our acts of faith? when he returns. What do we get now? Tested by fire. Tested so the quality of your works of faith can be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 14 says, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is revealed with fire, and fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. The thing that you're looking for in response to what you've done, it's coming. If your faith is diminished because you weren't rewarded as you expected to be, if you're disappointed in the outcome of your obedience, then the fire of testing will bring the slag to the top of the pot. Obedience is its own reward, brothers and sisters. God allows us to be an extension of his divine will. The outcomes of our obedience are his business alone. He has no obligation to show us any outcome. He is, however, mindful that we are but dust, and he protects our fragile faith with an occasional glimpse of what he did through our faithful obedience. What happened to this woman was not a strange thing. It happened to Moses when he stood between the Egyptians and the sea, when the people wanted to return, when his own family rejected his leadership. It happened to Abel after he made the good sacrifice. It happened to Daniel when he refused to bow and was thrown into the lion's den. It happened to Elijah when he obeyed God and Jezebel tried to kill him. It happened to Stephen when he proclaimed the gospel and men picked up stones. It happened to the apostles who were rejected, beaten, imprisoned, and killed simply because they responded with obedient faith to the Spirit's call. Scripture puts it this way. Hebrews 11:32 through 38. The Hall of Faith chapter. And what more shall I say, for time will fail me, if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of a sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. See, these are the things we look for, these wonderful endings. But if you'll notice, these wonderful endings all meant they had to go to war. They had to face a lion. They had to stand in the fire. And then it says something profound. And others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mocking and scourging. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom this world is not worthy, wandering in the deserts, mountains, and caves, and holes in the ground. There's no victory here attached to these things. This is the recruiting poster for the kingdom of heaven. These others, did they were called to do, and very harsh things happened to them, and they never saw their reward here. So do not think it strange when the same thing happens to you. In my own life, I can recall stepping out in what I thought was faith, and I left here and went to Bible college in Lancaster. Moved away from home for the first time, no job out there, and a pregnant wife. You know, I was going to go do something for God. Pay attention, God. Look what I'm doing. And I even laid down some ground rules. I'll do this, Lord, if you do this for me. Wow. Man. A few years later, I limped back home, broken, defeated. I thought I had stepped out and nothing happened. But in reality, I stepped out and something glorious happened. I was humbled. I was conformed to the image of Christ by hardship. The reward I received was not one I wanted, nor is it one I expected. It was so much more. It will never fade. We all face the moments when our faithful obedience will be tested. The moments of criticism from both the goats and the sheep, and the moments of self-doubt. confronted by both what did you do from the outside and what did I do from the inside. Let's take a quick return to the woman at Bethany, because at just the right time, Jesus speaks. With a few simple words, validates everything she did as his will. Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. She has done what she could. What sweet words are they? What she did will be a part of the gospel wherever and whenever it is preached. This very morning, in this very place, that prophecy of Jesus fulfilled once again. You saw and you heard prophecy fulfilled this very moment. Jesus said it would happen, and it just happened. This is the reward you gain for obedient faith. In front of all creation, Jesus Christ standing up and pointing to you and proclaiming, well done. You did what you could do. Effort is what God judges us on, not outcomes of what we did. Let's learn to judge ourselves and others by the same standard. Do what you can and allow yourself to be at peace, no matter how it turns out here and now. Now, there's one final important lesson we can glean from this account. While we are encouraged to act on our faith as the woman did, we are warned not to act on others' faith as the disciples did. Jesus Christ saying to his own, "Why do you bother her?" is a stinging indictment of their response to her. Do not be the one who causes a little one to stumble in their faith. Don't murmur amongst yourselves and don't publicly scold the faith of another. If you have concerns, serious concerns, talk to them about it in love, not indignantly to each other. There's a word for that, gossip. Don't scoff at their faith and don't criticize them for having it or responding to it. Remember that after Jesus said to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and die, Peter openly rebuked Jesus for proclaiming his own call. Jesus turns and immediately addresses Peter as Satan. Looks right past Peter and looks at Satan. Don't let your response to the faith of others be the work of Satan, because God will call you to the mat on it. And you will have to explain yourself to God. And that's not someplace you ever want to be. If another's faith is challenged by results, don't be part of the challenge. Be the one who says you've done what you could. That's enough. Romans 14:4 says, "Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." If they follow the leading of the Spirit, they'll stand. So when we step out in faith, like the woman did, don't expect the world to applaud, and a lot of times don't expect the church to cheer. Do what you can, and be at peace, knowing that outcomes are his business. Wait for Jesus to speak, either here or now, or there and then, those words you long to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Regarding your faith, be patient with yourself and with others. Because we learn faith, and God is our teacher, and he adjusts the lesson to each of us individually. Be at peace with his ability to use your obedience, his power to fulfill his will, regardless of the outcome you see. Simply ask yourself, did I do what I could do about what I should do? And then move on to the next challenge. And I leave you with the words of Oswald Chambers. This sort of wraps this up for me. Faith never knows where it is being led. You don't know how it's going to come out, but it loves and knows the one who's leading. And that's all we need. Amen.